Over the last weeks, we've been talking about ridding ourselves of some characteristics within our lives that can get in the way of our gratitude to God. So we started out by talking about comparisons. When we make comparisons in our lives, it gets in between us and being able to give God the gratitude that He deserves. We talked last week about when there is envy in our lives. This week, we're going to look at the idea of when bitterness enters our lives and how that impacts us as well. And then that was going to be the last of these three characteristics, I guess we would call them. And then I was with my dad yesterday, and when two pastors get together and talk, it extends the sermon series sometimes. So next week we're actually going to look at the idea of how entitlement can also get in the way of our gratitude to God. I think it's a very valid idea as we were talking yesterday. So I want to try to run with that a little bit in the course of this next week. This last week, week and a half, if you look in the newspapers at all, it's been kind of an incredible week. About a week ago, roughly, in the city of Lebanon, there was a pastor that was shot and killed. And then over the course of the last 4 or 5 days, whatever it's been, there's been these pipe bombs sent out all over and to political folks. And then yesterday's devastating news in Pittsburgh with these killings at the synagogue, just life ended tragically in just a matter of seconds. When we see these kind of things occurring in our world, in our midst, when we see them occurring just 3 hours down the road from us, or just 5 minutes down the road from us, we should, as people, kind of wonder to ourselves, why is this taking place? Why are people making these kind of horrible decisions with their lives and what they're going to do with their lives and impacting other people's lives in such horrible ways? And I think that I know this isn't the all-inclusive answer to that question, but I do believe that a piece to the answer to that question that we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 when Paul talks about being bitter-rooted. But when bitterness builds up in our lives and it has a way of working itself out through our words or through our actions too often. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 so we can read this together. It's going to be page 853 if you're using one of the church Bibles. 853. We're going to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 15. Verse 15, Paul says to us, he says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter roots grow up to cause trouble and defile many." That should be an important passage to us for several reasons. The first reason I'm going to suggest it should be an important passage to us is because it's a warning to us. It starts out by saying, be careful that you don't miss the grace of God. It's a big warning to us. But when we read in Scripture that something might cause us to miss the grace of God, our ears should perk up and we should be wondering what that something is. And then he goes on to say, he says, the reason is because it's impossible for a bitter root to grow inside of you. Don't allow a bitter root to grow inside of you, is what Paul tells us. This picture of this bitter root is it's a picture of a plant that sinks into our soul and starts to develop roots. And it's not a good plant. It's one of those weeds that kind of takes over the garden or takes over your grass and it begins to choke out other things. That's the picture that we should have here as we're seeing Paul talk about this idea of a bitter root growing up into us. So I want you to track with me for a second here. I think every day we are given opportunities to be offended in our lives. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's really simple stuff we get all worked up over, we get all offended over because somebody didn't give us the right of way as we're driving down the road on the highway, right? And then sometimes it's bigger things. Sometimes it's more serious things. It's really harsh and cutting words that are said to you and they hurt you really, really deeply. We're offended by it. Sometimes it's quarrels within our families. We're coming to Thanksgiving and Christmas. The great opportunity for quarrels within our families to surface. Sometimes it may even be a church that you feel has been insensitive towards your needs. The moment that you or I feel like we've been offended, whatever it is, whether it's one of those things or one of a million other things, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. We can choose to deal with that feeling of being offended, or we can choose to let it grow within us. And there's where that root begins to grow. See, I think sometimes it's natural for us to have a response to things of anger. I think that that is a normal human response and feeling to certain situations in our lives. But it's when that anger remains in our lives that then it begins to transition from anger over here to bitterness. And it begins to root in our lives. So we got to be very careful in how we make that choice when we feel offended about something. We got to make sure that we don't allow it, as Paul says, to begin to build a bitter root in our lives. I want you to turn with me also to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's page 829 if you're using the church Bibles. 829, we're going to Ephesians chapter 4. This passage that we're looking at now is on the idea, the concept of forgiveness. And I think that if we can master the idea of forgiveness, we can then have power over the idea of having bitterness grow within us. We can put a stop to that root growing within our lives. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to anyone, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." There is a big difference between bitterness and forgiveness. Forgiveness means that we say that we're going to let go of our anger. We're going to relinquish our right to retaliate, to get even with somebody for the way that we feel that they've mistreated us. We're going to set it aside and we're going to choose to move on. Bitterness means that I'm going to hold on to my anger. I'm going to refuse to let it go. And the bitter root begins to grow and spread until it begins to cripple our lives. Consumes us. Consumes our thoughts, our actions, and our words. Bitterness can take our mind off of the many blessings that God puts into our lives. It can take our focus off of that and onto the frustrations of life that we feel like we're experiencing. It can affect our moods and our thoughts. It can affect our behavior. And that's why this is such an important one for us to talk about today. So I want to start by looking at this idea of forgiveness. I kind of feel like if there's an opposite to bitterness, it's forgiveness. If we can, as I said earlier, if we can master this idea of forgiveness, the bitterness, I don't think, becomes an issue to us. So I want us to focus not so much on the bitterness part today, but on the mastering the forgiveness part today, on seeing exactly what it is that God, that Jesus is speaking to us here. So number one, if you're taking notes, we're just going to look at kind of the biblical idea, the biblical principle of forgiveness. In the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, it talks about forgiveness. So I'm going to have you turn there with me. It's page 695. We're going to begin at verse 23. Verse 23. Beginning of verse 23, these are the words of Jesus. These, if you have a red print Bible, these words are highlighted in red, meaning that Jesus spoke these words. And this is what he says. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him and he said, 'Be patient with me.' He begged him, 'And I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." So let's just stop there for a minute. Let's realize that what is being described here is God's forgiveness. That's the description that we're seeing in these first verses. Jesus is using this overstatement, this almost exaggerated example in the amount of money that's being talked about. 10,000 talents that is recorded here in this passage would be several million dollars. Impossible for a servant to be able to repay. But somehow he owes that. And Jesus is using the picture of this great debt to represent the great debt that you and I owe to God as a result of our sins, as a result of our falling. The servant can't pay the debt. I and you, we can't pay the debt that there is for our sins. But when the man pleads for mercy, God erases the debt. That's the way God forgives you and I. When we come to Him and we say, "We have messed up, we have fallen short of Your glory," God erases the debt. So that's the picture in the first part. The introduction that we have from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I want to just share this with you. It's really some instructions to us that we see. And it says this, it says, "You are to forgive one another the same way that God forgives you." It's this instruction. Sadly, this isn't the end of the parable. If the parable ended here, it'd be this beautiful picture that we see of God's forgiveness. It'd be a happy end to the story. But then there's this middle section that is not so lovely. So let's go ahead and continue to read in verse 28. In verse 28 it says, "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened." So the first section of the parable deals with how God forgives us. The second section that we just read, it deals with how we often deal with each other. How we often forgive or don't forgive each other. God has forgiven me of my great debt, but I'm not going to forgive you because of bitterness that grows within me. I want us to look at the conclusion of this. It's just the last couple of verses. It says this. It says, "Then the master called the servant in. He said, 'You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt that you had because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he could pay back all that he owed. And then it goes on to say, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Wow. Jesus expects some serious forgiveness out of us as believers. He expects us to be able to forgive people when they wrong us in really big ways. There's a couple of lessons that we can learn from this parable. But first, I want you just to listen to a couple other verses about God's forgiveness. And these verses come from Romans, in chapter 5. And the first verse I want you to see is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It just says this. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified, is what it says. We've been forgiven by God. We have peace with God. But what accomplished that? What accomplished that peace that we can have? The answer is in verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then he really kind of drives that message home just two verses later in verse 8. Where he says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See this example that Jesus is setting for us of forgiveness? This example that Paul's telling us about how Christ forgave us, and then we're told to mirror that image? So there's two things that we need to remember about God's forgiveness. The first thing we need to remember about God's forgiveness is that God forgives us even though we don't deserve forgiveness. Remember that. God forgave you. God forgives me even though we don't deserve it. And the second thing is that God forgives us on the basis of His grace. Not on the basis of our efforts or anything that you or I can say or do. The forgiveness that God offers to us is 100% given to us through His grace. God forgives us because of His grace, not because we've earned it. Paul teaches us in the book of Romans that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us come with our debt to God, needing His forgiveness. We're just like that servant, owing more than we can ever repay. But God, in His mercy and His grace, He forgives us. He moves towards us while we're still deep within our sins. And out of His love, He reaches down to us and He forgives us for our sins. He pays the price by going to the cross and dying for our sins. And in so doing, He sets this incredible example of what forgiveness looks like. So the first thing, hopefully, is we have a little bit of a better understanding of the richness, the deepness of the forgiveness that we see in the example of Christ and that we're called to. Secondly, I want us to challenge to forgive as God forgave. Forgive as God forgave. Obviously, forgiving as God forgave will never be an easy task. It won't be. Because people really do hurt us. People really do impact our lives in negative ways, in deep ways. And we got to dig deep in order to be able to forgive them for that. But I want us to kind of look at four steps this morning that might lead us towards, just lead us a little bit more toward forgiving as Jesus forgives. The first step is this. We must acknowledge that we've been hurt. That's where it starts. We have to acknowledge that we've been hurt. One of the greatest challenges of forgiving others is denial. And some of us are masters at it. If somebody offends us, the first thing that we do to them is we just shut them out. We just build this wall. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want them around because they've offended us. We're so hurt by what they've done. We pretend like it just didn't happen and we refuse to deal with it. So we shut them out by ignoring them, staying away from them. If they're in the same room, we cross over to the other side so we can avoid them. If we're in Giant, we go down out of our way to go down different aisles so that we don't have to actually interact with them. If their name comes up in a conversation, we say something that's a little bit of a snide remark about them just to try to put them in their place. You know, just like Jesus handles it. Right? See, we haven't forgiven them. All we've done is deny that they've hurt us. Try to put this wall in between them and us. What we need to do is to acknowledge that they've hurt us and to start dealing honestly with that hurt. That's the first step towards forgiveness. The second one is this. We need to see our hurt from God's perspective. The hurt that you're feeling, the hurt that you sense, you need to see it from God's perspective. Oftentimes, we engage in these little pity parties in life. We get feeling bad for ourselves because we've gone through something, somebody's done something to us, whatever the case is, and we begin to get into this little pity party mentality. And then we wonder why God did this or that to us, or allowed this or that to happen to us, or why we are the victims of this, or the victims of that. We need to see our hurt from God's perspective. And to recognize that sometimes trials, sometimes tribulations that come into our lives, that is what God uses to grow us sometimes, to stretch us, to make us into the people that He desires for us to be. Scripture teaches over and over and over again that sometimes these times of testing, that they are there so that we can begin to mature and to become the kind of person that God really desires for us to be. Thirdly, we need to acknowledge our faults and receive God's forgiveness. Sometimes I think it's very difficult for us ourselves to say, okay, God's forgiven me, so I need to move on. We need to acknowledge that we've not always been the victim. Sometimes, just sometimes, we're the offender in the situation. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, He's anxious to forgive us. And He will, when we come to Him, repenting of our sins, ready to obey His will for our lives. He's quick to offer that forgiveness. The final step I want to share this morning is we must choose. We have a choice to make. We must choose between forgiveness and bitterness. I think that's really what it comes down to. It is a choice. It's a choice that you and I make. I want to share with you, and this will take about 4 or 5 minutes, and I understand that, but it's a powerful, powerful story. I want to share with you a story of what I think is just absolutely incredible forgiveness. If you can go ahead and put the next slide on. This is a picture of two gentlemen, Matt Schwartzel and Eric Fitzgerald. Matt's on the left, Eric's on the right. Here's the story of these two guys' life and how they've come to sit together at a restaurant and share a meal together. Early one morning in Georgia, Matt Schwartzel was driving home from his 24-hour shift as a firefighter in EMS and had only 30 minutes of sleep. He was less than 4 miles from his home on October 2, 2006. When he suddenly heard what he recalls as the most God-awful sound I've ever heard. Schwartzel, then 20, realized that he had fallen asleep at the wheel and crashed. When he got out of his car, he saw the car of a 30-year-old, June Fitzgerald. She was pregnant and with her 19-month-old daughter, Faith. Faith survives the crash. The mother and unborn sibling, mother and unborn sibling passed away. June's husband, Eric Fitzgerald, happened to be a full-time pastor, grieved the loss of his wife and child with close family and friends, including the young people from his student ministry. One young girl told him that she couldn't help but think about how the driver of the other car was feeling. He told her she was right and that they should pray for him. It was his opportunity to practice the forgiveness that he had preached so many times before. Fitzgerald went on to say, "You forgive as you have been forgiven." That's what Scripture tells us. It wasn't an option. If you've been forgiven, then you need to extend forgiveness, he said. Fitzgerald's forgiveness has created a friendship now of 6 years strong between the two men. The men stayed connected by meeting at least once every 2 weeks, attending church together and eating meals at the Waffle House and other restaurants, just the two of them. We recognize that when we first started meeting, it was unusual. We knew it was God, said Fitzgerald, now 38 years old. To start, Fitzgerald extended his forgiveness at Swartzel's sentencing. As a county officer, he was facing a felony and harsh time, but Fitzgerald showed up and pled for a lesser sentence. "I don't see why this accident and tragedy need to ruin more lives," said Fitzgerald. Swartzel paid a fine and did community service. Swartzel expected hate from Fitzgerald, but got love. He wanted to thank him for all that he had done, but legally they couldn't speak to each other during the two-year criminal investigation. One day before the two-year anniversary of the accident, Swartzel was in the parking lot of a grocery store after buying a greeting card to send to Fitzgerald. Just about to turn on his engine, he saw Fitzgerald walking into the same grocery store. After an introduction, Fitzgerald told Swartzel, "I have a desire to want to be in your life." Can you imagine that? Part of the tug I felt and draw part of the tug I felt that drew me to Matt was that he was a good guy. He wasn't a convict or on drugs. He was just a guy who got off of a shift. I felt it was my responsibility to encourage him and see the bigger picture. "I can honestly say that without this friendship, I don't know where I would be," said Swartzel, now 27. Fitzgerald has watched Swartzel become a family man and has helped him raise himself from the abyss of guilt. From Swartzel, though Swartzel and Fitzgerald's forgiveness has quickly realized that he didn't have to have any guilt. After seeing a therapist and many talks with Fitzgerald, Swartzel was able to move past the hurt. "It's still a struggle, and I have demons and things that I will have to deal with forever," he says. "But I can't find the words to express what Fitzgerald and his support have done for me." Fitzgerald, who has now been remarried for almost 2 years, says that he will one day have more children with his new wife. Though the two of them live further from each other now than they did at first, they still get together every time they're in each other's neighborhoods. Fitzgerald believes that he has gotten just as much out of the friendship as Swartzel has. This has been just as healing for me," says Fitzgerald. "I've taught on forgiveness and know forgiveness, but now I've had to offer forgiveness." Wow. What an incredible example of forgiveness. I couldn't imagine being in that situation and mustering up the courage to connect with this guy that just took my wife and unborn child. Unintentionally, but just did it. And then we see other acts of forgiveness all the time. We saw in Lancaster County with the Amish schoolhouse shootings. The Amish came up very quickly and forgave. It's ingrained in their teaching, in their theology, this idea of forgiveness. And as we look at Scripture, we see even a greater story of forgiveness as we think of Christ and His life and His death on the cross in order to offer us, you and I, forgiveness for our sins. Bitterness. Let me shift gears back now. Bitterness, if we let it build up in our lives, it will affect so many areas. When we become bitter towards somebody, guess who it impacts the most? Oftentimes, it's not the person that's been offended that it impacts the most. It's the person that has been offended that it impacts the most. If you're holding on to bitterness in your life, it is now taking control of your thought process. It's winning this battle over you, in a sense. So as believers, we need to figure out how to not allow bitterness to become rooted in our lives. And when we do that, we gain freedom from it. We are the beneficiaries of that decision. Not necessarily the other person, but you and I, we're the ones that benefit from that. And as we do that, it allows us then to be able to focus on the goodness of God instead of just on the negative things that are going on in our life that we're bitter about. And that's why I say that this is one of those pieces to the puzzle that's important for us to get under control if we truly want to show gratitude to God like we're called and instructed to do. Because as long as we're holding on in our lives to the bitter roots of life, we cannot at the same time be giving God the gratitude that He deserves from our lives. So if you're here this morning, and if you're dealing with this idea of comparisons in your life, or envy in your life, or as we talked about today, this rooted bitterness in your life, I would just encourage you as we spend a minute in prayer together to just offer it up to God and say, God, this is an area that I'm dealing with in my life and I need You to help me. I need You to help me get past comparisons. I need You to help me not to envy. I need You to help me be released from bitterness. And when we do that, our eyes are open to the goodness of God. The goodness that He has given to each one of us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, these last 3 weeks we've looked at 3 different issues that can become a part of our lives that draw our attention away from You, draw our focus off of the goodness of You. We've seen, Heavenly Father, how comparisons and envy can do that. This morning we've talked about the significance of bitterness and how it can control our lives, and I believe that we see that in our world so often as we open up a newspaper or turn on the news. So help us, Lord God, to make decisions in our life, to not allow anger to become bitterness, to deal with anger when it comes into our lives. We do that through forgiveness. Help us to be quick to offer forgiveness. Just like this gentleman that lost his wife and his unborn daughter. Quick to offer forgiveness and support and love to the other person. Just like the Amish community is, they felt this devastation years ago. Just like Your Son, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to pay for my sins. Help us to offer that kind of forgiveness. Lord God, be with each one of us. Help us to be more grateful, to have eyes to see what it is that you are doing around us, to recognize those things, to offer gratitude and thanksgiving for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.